Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at BollandBranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
The following show may contain adult themes not suitable for children.
Shut the hell up.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk.
It does go well with a chicken.
I didn't know hanging out with you was making me smarter.
Full disclosure, Morty, it's not. Temporary superintelligence is just a side effect of the mega seeds dissolving in your rectal cavity.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And once those seeds wear off, you're going to lose most of your motor skills, and you're also going to lose a significant amount of brain functionality for 72 hours, Morty. Starting right about now.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk is brought to you by Pub Beer, the official beer of cheap fun.
Oh, wow. What an exciting time.
That ain't no bird.
Yeah, beautiful hair.
What is the freaking Texans doing?
I think it's a Himalayan snowcock.
Here he is, having the time of his life.
Oh, my.
Souk and Rob's passion. Well, I really enjoy the show. Thank you. Bye.
Merry Christmas, Beach. They
fell in love. Rocking you on a Friday? Why did I say that?
My son is an idiot.
What is the Colorado Rocky?
All right, nice to have you along. It's the club, and we have a special guest, very special guest, in studio tonight, who is in town to be funny.
Yeah, funny man.
He is a funny man who says funny S. We've had him on the show before. I don't know. I'm sure you don't remember. You do a lot of shows. Craig Gass is here. He'll be at the, I believe, the Bossa Nova Ballroom.
Yes.
Saturday night.
Is whenever he I hear Bossa Nova, I think of the old George Seifert commercial. Blame it on the Bossa Nova, the dance of love. I don't remember what that was for, but George Seifert in his transition lenses sang the Bossa Nova song on an ad, and I don't know why, but that sticks in my head forever.
That's amazing. I don't even know what the reference is. I don't even remember it.
I don't know why. It was just a random commercial, and I find George, for anyone wearing transition lenses, I find funny. And the idea of George Seifert, old 49ers coach, singing like Mel Torme Bossa Nova songs. Whoever That's came up with that idea, brilliant.
So you are so you live in Vegas?
I live in Las Vegas.
But you grew up in Seattle, or spent time in Seattle? There's a whole thing about the Seahawks and the Mariners with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I'm from New York originally. I grew up 10 miles from Yankee Stadium.
Got it.
And the Yankees were my birthright. But Yankee fans are such horrifying people. That I remember going to a game when I was 8 years old, and I looked at my mom and I said, "This stadium is loaded with a-holes." I was eight when I said that to her. And I made a really grown-up decision. I just said, you know what? If my team winning means that all these a-holes are going to be happy, then I'm out. I can't be a part of this. And more people need to do that today, by the way, when things start getting out of control.
That's
fair. But moved to Seattle to start doing stand-up. In the 90s, and when I got there, three of my Yankees were there. Lou Piniello was the head coach, and Willie Randolph was a base coach, and Goose Gossage was in his last year as a relief pitcher, and I just thought, oh, this is my team, and I became a Mariners fan, and then I went to a Seahawks game, and the Seahawks sucked so bad that they were just giving away tickets outside the Kingdom. And I would tell friends, like, dude, they're just giving away. Like, you can get in. I mean, you can maybe spend $5, but people will just give it away for, like, a king beer, you know? And so I became a Seahawks fan and a Mariners fan, and I book all my shows now around the world, around Seahawks and Mariners road games, which is a big reason why I'm not famous. But things are, many things are happening this year.
Are the Mariners playing? Are they having some sort of event at the Bossa Nova room?
No, this was just a long overdue trip just to get back to Portland to check in. And my plan was to go to a Blazers game, and I was too exhausted when I got in on Sunday to watch them play.
You miss nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to go to those. You know.
Plus, I was watching the playoff games and the NFL playoff games, and I was like, but yeah, I'm a massive sports fan. I mean, dude, like my biggest stories of freaking out has always been with professional athletes. Like, you guys are used to talking to the biggest names in sports, so you don't get fazed by anyone, right? You guys?
Once in a while. I remember we had Arnold Palmer once, and that jammed me up a little bit. Arnold Palmer got in my kitchen. I was very nervous.
But if you see someone outside your world, that makes you nervous, right? Somebody
100%,
famous.
100%.
Okay.
Well,
comedians can make me a little nervous because they're.
It's a different
breed. You guys are just smart and like on another level, and it's like intimidating to try to keep up. Whereas with sports people, I honestly don't. This is going to sound terrible. I don't think much of them. Like, it's you're good at dunking a basketball. I don't care. You're probably an idiot.
Plus, I think it's a really like, I've been working in radio for as long as I've been doing stand-up, and I really believe that this format is the hardest format to get content from, because all athletes are just trained to just give you...
They're the worst.
Yeah, they want...
We don't even interview... I mean, we've been around a lot of them. Yeah. We've covered games like you know, you go to the Super Bowl and things like this. We don't... When's the last time we had an athlete on our show?
Well, I mean, that reason... Outside of saying that you have an athlete on, most of the time, it's horrid.
I go to the Super Bowl every year, and I interview the players, and I'm always trying to just get something funny from them. And it's always a different angle. Last year, I brought Bert Kreischer and Carrot Top, and we interviewed the Chiefs and the...
How'd that go with Carrot Top and some NFL guys?
Carrot Top was... You know what was great about Carrot Top is there was guys who were too young to know who Carrot Top was, and Carrot Top... And you can see the video online. He was talking to one of the guys from the 49ers, and he said, yeah, man. He goes, do you know who I am? And the guy goes, tell me. And he goes, dude, I'm singing the national anthem. And he goes, are you serious? He thought he was Reba McEntire. And I was like, oh, come on, dude. But that's my favorite thing, is like them being a little clueless. One of the best gifts in comedy was Super Bowl 50. It was the Broncos and the Panthers. And the halftime show was Coldplay. And I loved going up to all the players on both teams and going, oh, man, Coldplay, halftime show. What's your favorite Coldplay song? And every single one of them going, oh, man, I love all of them.
I celebrate the whole catalog.
I can't pick just one.
No one wants to admit that they don't know who Coldplay is.
And again, you can see the video on YouTube. There was a guy from the Broncos who just went, oh, you know what? I'm half white, so I actually know the answer to this. And I was like, oh. And that's what you hope for. You hope you're going to get funny stuff, like when you talk to these players, like because even at the Super Bowl, there are people that are just asking, what are your feelings about Sunday? What are you going to get out of that?
Yeah, like they like your interviews better than they like.
Well, they get
sports interviews.
I've learned over the years how to approach them, because there was a couple of years where I'd go, hey, man, my name's Craig Gass. I'm a comedian. And the first thing they would always say is, uh-oh. And I'd go, no, I'm not. Yeah. Dude, make fun of me. Look at me. Look at this. Like, you can make fun of this. Like, yeah, I'm not going to make fun of you. I want you to be funny. And so I started setting up just bulletproof approaches. Like, there was one Super Bowl in Houston. It was the Rams and the Patriots. And my theme was... It was just after COVID, so I put on weight. I got fat, and I wanted to ask all the players, like, and this is true, my birthday is 2 weeks after the Super Bowl, so asking all the players, like, hey, it's my birthday in 2 weeks, how do I look like you in 2 weeks? And there was a guy from the Rams who, I didn't even finish the question before he went, pray to Jesus, and I went, oh my God. But, and you know what, in that video, you can see Rob Gronkowski, I said, Rob, my name's Craig Gass. I'm a stand-up comedian. It's my birthday in 2 weeks. How do I look like you in 2 weeks? And Rob went, and he looked me up and down and went, oh, my God. how much time do you have? And I said, 2 weeks. And he went, oh, wow. Okay.
Taking it seriously.
Okay, first of all.
He's trying to help you.
He goes, 1,000 burpees a day. And I said, what? And he goes, yeah. Yeah, for sure. 1,000 burpees a day. And I go, do you think I could ever look like you, let alone 2 weeks from
he
now?
He probably does think that. But, you know, I would think, because he's dumb, is what I'm getting at. But I would think that it would, if you're doing a bit like that, that would be really hard to make athletes funny, because most of them aren't.
Right.
Right? So I would think that most of those bits are better because you can be funny off of them.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, that's the easy part. I think it would be harder to go in and actually try to tee them up and make them funny.
Well, sometimes I just try to think of ways I can play into their wheelhouse that will elicit a great response. Like, I do the same thing at Seahawks training camp every year. I'm a huge Seahawks fan, and they let me come in and just have fun with the players every year. And, like, one year I just said, you're a professional football player. You're intimidating. I'm a comedian. Like, look at me. I'm not intimidating. Can you just, I want you to just look in the camera and do an intimidating look, and then I'll try to copy it, and you just give me notes and tell me what I look like. And that was bulletproof. Just guys just getting stone cold looking in the camera.
There you go.
And then me trying to, and then them saying, like, do you have to go to the bathroom? I'm like, no, I'm doing the thing you taught me. Like,
who was the, if you ever encountered an athlete that just, lack of a better word, just didn't get it. I don't know if ass is the right word, but just no personality, stone cold, not funny, just doesn't understand that what you're trying to do, and you're like, oh my God.
Yes, I had just scored a huge hit with Peyton Manning at Super Bowl 50. Peyton Manning, and this got like 3 million views within 24 hours.
Because Manning's a great person.
Oh, my God. Manning knew what I was doing right from the get-go. Yeah. I said, Peyton, my name's Craig Gass. I'm a stand-up comedian. And I want to pitch a game show idea that I have for you called Peyton Manning Trivia, where it is impossible for you to get any question wrong. And he went, impossible? And I said, for you, it'll be impossible. We're going to do a speed round right now. What is the largest city in the state of Nebraska? And he went, Omaha. Where is the College World Series played at every year? Omaha. Where is Warren Buffett from? Omaha. And every question. Yeah. And then I went through and I fact-checked and I said, Omaha! 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 You are correct, sir. You win again. And then he laughed. And then the Panthers come out, and I'm like, oh, man, wait till Cam Newton gets a hold of me, man. Cam Newton's going to love me because Peyton. And, man, Newton, I don't know if you know this. Cam Newton, interesting fact about him is he named his son. He has a funny name for his son. Do you know what the name is by chance?
We've talked about this.
I do.
Yeah.
What is the name?
Chosen.
Because Cam Jr. would be too much pressure.
Yes.
That's Chosen. What he said.
Is that what he said? So his kid's name is Chosen. And I said, Cam, my name's Craig Gass. I'm a stand-up comedian. I love that you gave your son such a cool name of Chosen. But do you ever worry about the other kids that he goes to school with and them being insecure that they weren't Chosen? And he gave me a dead serious answer, and I went, okay, but were you trying to one up anybody who named their kid Jesus? And he just went next, and he's
not having it.
And the thing about that is, like, I'm scared to even release that moment because the NFL is so tight that they might think that I was trying to. It makes me look like a dick, and I'm not trying to be a dick. You know, someone made me look like a dick with Mahomes this year because I asked a year ago. Because we haven't even gotten into why I'm funny, but I do voices. Family Guy, American Dad, Howard Stern Show now. And I've always been known for doing impressions. And so I asked Mahomes last year, hey, man, does anybody do a good impression of you? And what's the key to doing an impression of you? And Mahomes said, I sound like Kermit the Frog. And I go, really? And I go, and then he wasn't really funny, so we didn't use that. But this year in Vegas, I said, Patrick, last year when I talked to you, you said that you think you sound like Kermit the Frog. And he goes, yeah, I do. I go, do a Kermit and the Frog impression. And he said, right now I'm doing it. This is it, my voice. This is it. I'm doing it. And somebody edited my build-up to that, and they just there's a clip of me just saying, do Kermit the Frog. And all the comments are like, oh, see, the media is jerks.
Yeah.
And screw them. But it was Patrick Mahomes who told me that a year earlier.
There might be some skin there.
There he is. This is Craig Gass. Now, Bossa Nova Center.
Bossa Nova Ballroom.
Ballroom, yeah. Saturday night.
Two I'm shows. A comedian who does impressions.
We're going to get to that next.
Okay, we'll get to that next. I got a crazy story for you of how I got to do impressions.
Yeah.
It's insane. You won't believe it, but I swear it's 100% true.
And I want your top three or four impressions.
Okay.
And I would like to ask you about, you said you're back on the Howard Stern Show now.
I'm back on the Howard Stern Show, and I also would like to tell you about how everyone I do an impression of has tried to meet me, and it always leads to awkward moments. I had dinner with Christopher Walken, and he hated me.
No way.
Hated me.
Oh, fantastic. That's next.
That's heartbreaking.
Stay right there. It's Club 1080 on The Fan. All right, we're back. We have comedian Craig Gass in studio. He'll be at the Bossa Nova Ballroom Saturday night. And you were saying your story of how you even started doing impressions.
Yeah, man, that first break we just did is a great testament to how great the conversation is in this room, because I did not plan on having that conversation at all. I just really enjoyed that conversation. But yes.
Well, we just kind of shoot the breeze here. But yeah, let's get to the meat and potatoes of all this here.
So I'm a stand-up comedian. I played a bunch of characters on a bunch of TV shows, on King of Queens and Sex and the City.
What would we know?
I did something awful on Sex and the City. I don't even know if I can describe what I did on Sex and the City, because TV Guide referred to it as the grossest moment in television history.
Really?
I dated a girl named Miranda on the show.
I know Miranda.
Not in real life, but on the show, Miranda. Yeah. And I put on weight to do the show, because we met at a Weight Watchers meeting. And my character is, every time I get together with Miranda, I love to perform. And every time I do, she has a huge reaction. And she has a very explosive reaction.
Yeah.
And and all I want to do is hug her and hold her and kiss her afterwards, which freaks her out because of my face. Yeah. So, and that's all I did, by the way, on that set. That first day on the set, I just performed an obscene act for 19 hours.
And that's it.
From 6 o'clock in the morning.
Oh my God. Take after take.
1 o'clock the next morning. We had all these different angles, and I had to put on different underwear because we had a couple of dates that ended. And
what do you get paid for something like that?
I think it was a few grand, and then the residuals I get for Family Guy are better than the actual pay for... All right, so I'm jumping ahead a little bit. So I'm mostly known as a voice guy. So, and I've always been able to do any voice that I hear because of how I grew up. This is not a joke. This is a true story. Everyone in my family is deaf. My mom, my dad, my sister are all completely deaf. Growing up in a deaf family, I couldn't learn how to talk from my family. I learned how to talk by watching TV and copying all the voices I heard on TV.
Wow.
Never got an accent. From the Bronx, which is where I'm from, and everybody in the Bronx sounds like Tracy Morgan.
Everybody in the Bronx talk like this, whether you black or white, male or female. That's crazy. Hey, this is the voice of your next door neighbor, and I'm a Vietnamese girl. That's crazy.
Like, everybody sounded like that. Everybody had that super aggressive voice. Yeah. So the weirder the voice, the easier it is for me to do it, which leads me to, you know, I mean, if it's Christopher Walken, who's got a real stop and go kind of voice, where he'll talk every once in a while, he'll stop and then he'll keep going, you know. Or Adam Sandler, who's really silly, and that's shibby-doo. so now radio shows like Howard and cartoons, they'll bring me in to do voices, and I'm kind of resentful because when Suk was trying, he was telling me a story about meeting somebody who was really excited to meet, and they weren't nice to him. I worked with somebody who I wouldn't say wasn't nice to me, but I just overshot. Like what we were saying earlier about, like, people outside your world, you get excited. My first episode of Family Guy, I'm so stoked because I'm such a fan. It's the only show I've been on that I'm actually a fan of. Like, I never watched Sex and the City. I never watched King of Queens. But Sunday night is Family Guy for me. So to be in a room with Seth MacFarlane.
Because he does so many of those voices.
Yeah. And he and they just discovered me on YouTube. This woman, their casting director, just said, "Hey, I saw these videos of you. Are you available to we want to offer you a job. Are you available?" And I was sitting in a Long John Silver's when she called me. I was the
Of course you were.
I was the most available comedian in America at that time. I was like, "Yeah, I'm just getting some hush puppies." Like, so she brings me in. And it's just me and Seth MacFarlane. I can already tell I'm creeping him out because I'm laughing so hard that he keeps going, "All right, dude, just relax."
Like, are you in a studio recording?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's me.
Just you and him.
Me and Seth. Seth keeps doing one line as Peter Griffin where he keeps saying, "This is crazier than when Al Pacino was a slumlord laundromat tenant." And then they cut to me as Al Pacino surrounded by a bunch of broken down washers and dryers going, "You're out of order." "And you're out of order. And you're all out of order." We did that three times.
Ass.
That's it. And Seth MacFarlane, he's running the board, and he goes, "All right, man, I think we're good. But I'm so nervous because I think we're going to be friends now."
Yeah.
Because we're working together.
Yeah.
So I stand up, and I go, "All right, so you want to hang out?" And he goes, "What do you mean, hang out?" And I go, "I don't know, you want to grab a coffee or something?"
And
he
goes,
"He goes, I got to work." And I said, "Okay, you want me to leave?" He goes, "Yeah, get the hell out of here." I grab my paperwork, I walk out, and they don't even call me again for like 6 months. And then Linda starts calling and saying, "Hey, Craig, can you do this voice or can you do this voice?" And every time she calls, I'm like, "Yeah, I can do whatever voice you want." And then every time I come in, Seth MacFarlane's never
there.
It's always a guy named Mike Henry who does the voice of Cleveland and the creepy old guy. And every time I see Mike, I go, "Hey, Mike, is Seth around?" And every time I see him, he goes, "Don't worry about Seth. We'll get you out of here real quick. We'll get you out of here really quick."
You, like, you didn't stick the landing on that one.
It happens. Yeah, I mean,
a little too excited.
Well, if you had that situation all over again, nothing changes. He doesn't want to hang out with you. I mean, no offense, but he doesn't. Like, you're not getting in that. Do you think there's a way you could have befriended Seth MacFarlane in that moment?
I've learned to like play it cool, and it's from moments like that of screwing up.
Yeah.
To where when I'm around other successful people, like I bonded with Alec Baldwin when we did a TV show called Las Vegas. It was James Caan. Me and Alec Baldwin show up at the casino to rob a casino. And by the way, dude, Alec Baldwin likes me so much, he tells me this insane story about how he almost got in a fist fight with Al Pacino, which is the craziest.
What?
Like, every day, Alec Baldwin would come into my trailer, he'd knock on the door and walk in and go, "Can I hear some impressions? I love your impressions. You mind doing some impressions for me?" And I'd always have people visiting me on the set, and I'd go, "Yeah, man. Hey, this is my buddy Suk. He's visiting from Portland. Will you do your Tony Bennett for him?" Alec Baldwin does amazing impressions.
Yeah. Great SNL guy.
Great SNL guy. And, like, you know, you ask him to do Tony Bennett, and it's like one of those voices where you go, "What the hell does Tony Bennett sound like?" And he'll grab an empty martini glass and go, "Yeah, I'll tell you what. I used to date Marilyn Monroe. Marilyn Monroe was a real foxy lady. I once made love to Marilyn for up to 12 hours until the paramedics came along and said, 'Tony, she's gone.'" Like, the material is so dark.
You know what's weird about that is, like, it dead serious. There's a couple where when I think of Tony Bennett, I don't hear Tony Bennett's voice. I hear Alec Baldwin doing Tony Bennett. And there's another one like Robert Goulet. If I hear Robert Goulet,
Will Ferrell,
I just think of Will Ferrell.
Agreed.
I don't really know what Robert Goulet sounds like. I just think of Will Ferrell, Goulet, like, you know, and like doing Red Ships of Spain.
Agreed, like, 100%.
The impression becomes how I think of his voice.
So this guy, Alec Baldwin, starts telling me, he's like, "I got to tell you my story. I got to tell you my story about Al Pacino." Because he always wants me to do Al Pacino for him every day. And then he finally tells me the story. And the story is nuts. Alec Baldwin agreed to do a one-man show on Broadway about Al Pacino's life. The problem is that the play was written by a former best friend of Al Pacino's.
Oh.
The former best friend reveals a lot of personal information that Al Pacino did not want people to know about.
Yeah.
So Alec Baldwin starts hearing, and by the way, the play was scheduled to open on Tuesday, September 11th, 2001.
Oh, wow. Gosh.
So they ended up, I think they did a total of two performances. It was supposed to be a few weeks, and they just did two performances, scrapped the whole thing. But Baldwin keeps hearing through the grapevine, Al Pacino wants to kick your ass. And and he says that he'll go to, like, events, and people go, listen, I don't know what's going on, all right? I'm just relaying a message to you. I just ran into Al Pacino at a movie screening last week. He says the next time he sees you, he's going to beat your ass. I'm just telling you. So he keeps hearing this through the grapevine, like, Pacino's looking for you. He wants to beat your ass. And Baldwin, at the time, was living in Los Angeles. He goes, so I'm in my apartment building in Los Angeles. The elevator door opens up. Who's in the elevator? It's Al Pacino, Beverly D'Angelo, and a real estate broker looking for an apartment in my building. He said as soon as the elevator door opened up, Beverly D'Angelo looks at him and goes, Alec! Look who it is! Alec! Oh, my God! We were just talking about you. You're so political. You should be a president or something. Weren't we saying that, Al? Weren't we saying that? And he said the whole time, Pacino's looking at him going, who, this guy?
This guy does anything he wants, don't you, Alec? You do anything you want.
And then Beverly D'Angelo, not picking up on what's going on, starts walking down the hallway with a real estate broker in tow. And Pacino just eyeballs him as he walks past him. And Baldwin says, Al, can I talk to you for 1 second? And he goes,
what? You got something you got to say to me? What do you got to say to me, Alec?
And he goes, listen, I know you know about the play. And he goes,
play? You're in a play. Tell me about your fruity little play. I'm dying to hear about your little play.
Oh, God.
And he goes, listen, I know you know about the play. I just want to tell you three things. I didn't do it out of disrespect for you. Number two, I only agreed to do it in New York, not in your backyard. And number three, and this is the truth, I've never had more fun than I did playing you. And that's the truth. And he said, Pacino looked at him and went,
Alec, how in the world can you have fun being me? Because I'm miserable. I'm miserable.
And Baldwin said he put his arms around Pacino and just hugged him. And Pacino just went,
Jesus Christ.
And he softened up. And they worked through it, but my God.
That's a true story?
100%
that's
true story.
Fantastic. Yeah. Oh, my God.
I told the story once on the air, and then I was like, should I say this? Should I say this? And then a few years ago, somebody sent me a video of Alec Baldwin on the Conan O'Brien show going, who's that guy who does that impression of me that I love and does Al Pacino? And he called me out, and he said, Craig, it's Craig Gass. And I'm like, wow. And that's a guy who, you know, you meet someone, they give you their phone number, and then every time you scroll through, you're like, I'm not calling.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Why am I going to call
Let's text
dude?
Alec Baldwin right now. What are we going to text him? Wait, okay, so circling all the way back before we take a break, and then I want to hear the Christopher Walken story.
Yes.
But you said something that I think is right. When you're trying to befriend a Seth MacFarlane, or you want to, like, at least break the ice with somebody like that, you're absolutely right. You just play it like they play it. If you're around them long enough, you need to give off the impression that you've been in a room with a million Seth MacFarlanes and there's nothing new about this moment. And then maybe you get in with Seth MacFarlane.
Or just be likable. Just be a charming, likable person.
What if you're not?
That's on you. That's something that you just kind of find out.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, hey, nobody's hanging out with me.
Yeah, I wonder why nobody
But
likes
I found that even when I get a little aggressive, like the only reason I prank called Tom Arnold and all he wanted to do was be friends with me. But then I got kind of scared. Like, man, I called this dude. Do we have time for, should we?
How long is the story?
It's a 3-minute story.
Okay.
All right. So, and by the way, there's a 2-minute PS on the back end about how I've been hurting his feelings every year at the Super
Let's
Bowl.
Pause. I know better than this. We got to. There will be follow-up questions. We'll pause.
Hey, listen. Everything I've just told you so far is a censored version of everything. Yeah. If you want to hear the uncensored version, go to the Bossa Nova Ballroom this weekend. I'm doing two shows on Saturday. I'm usually hilarious. BossaNovaBallroom.com. BossaNovaBallroom.com. Or go to GetGas.com, which is my website. GetGas with two S's.com. 6 p.m. and 8:30 at Bossa Nova Ballroom.
Good radio guy.
Absolutely. Thank you,
guy. Craig Gass is our guest. More with him next on The Fan. Here's Buck.
She got a great ass. And you got your head all the way up it.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, our guest is comedian Craig Gass. He'll be at Bossa Nova Ballroom Saturday night. Two shows.
Yes.
Now, I want to get to the Christopher. I love Christopher Walken, and I just started Severance, and he's in Severance, and
he steals everything he's in.
He's just wonderful.
I love him,
and I love the fact that he hates you. That's great. But
yeah,
we'll get to that
in this scenario. But there's some. But I did tease that.
Yeah, the Tom Arnold.
I prank call Tom Arnold.
Why? Are you on the Howard Stern show or something?
No, I did it for myself. This is when I was still living in Seattle, and I was doing radio in Seattle. I was working at a rock station up there.
Okay.
That's where I started before I got on the Howard Stern show. I sent a tape of my stuff from Seattle, and Howard's producer called me.
Hey, this is really good. We really love the voices here. I mean, this is like, so who's doing all the voices? And I said, that's me doing all the voices. He goes, well, you're Sam Kinison's better than anything we've ever heard, man. We love it.
Is Gary still there? I'm sorry. I've lost touch a little bit with the Howard Stern.
Yeah, Gary's still there. Gary's still there. So around this time, I'm still new in comedy, and this is like mid-90s, and I'm doing open mics and stuff. One of the open mic comedians whose day job is working at a hotel in downtown Seattle said, hey, man, you know that Planet Hollywood that's opening in town? all the stars from Planet Hollywood are staying at my hotel. And I go, yeah, like who? And he goes, Sylvester Stallone, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Tom Arnold. And I went, Tom Arnold is staying at your hotel? And he goes, yeah. And I go, no way. I go home that night. And Tom Arnold had just killed it in 9 months and True Lies. And
yeah, he's friends with Schwarzenegger.
And he's friends with Schwarzenegger. But I think he's a funny dude. So I called the Hilton that night and I said, hi, Tom Arnold, please. And this lady goes, okay, just one moment. And she puts me through. I didn't record this. I just did it for myself. Tom Arnold picked up the phone and he said, hello. And I said, Tom, it's Sam Kinison. And he goes, by the way, Sam Kinison had been dead for 5 years. And Tom Arnold goes, hey, buddy, how you been? Good to talk to you, man. It's been a long time. And I said, I go, Tom, I need your help in the afterlife. And he goes, whatever you need, buddy. You just tell me what you need. And I said, well, what I need is cocaine. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to follow my instructions. First of all, I need you to front me the cash because I don't have any cash. And then I want you to get some cocaine. And then this is where it gets tricky. I want you to get on a plane, and I want you to fly to Los Angeles. And when you get to Los Angeles, I want you to drive to Jerry Lewis's house. And when you get to his house and he answers the door, I want you to take the cocaine and put it in the small pocket of his pants, and I'll get it when he gets here in 3 weeks. Oh! And then I stopped and said, Tom, I'm sorry. My name's Craig Gass. I'm a stand-up comedian. I'm a huge fan of yours. I just love you. And he said, man, that impression is so good that I need to call my sponsor right now. That's how good it is. And what is your name? Craig Gass. You're a comedian. And I said, yeah, I'm a comedian. And he goes, do you have a tape you could drop off at the hotel? So I dropped off a tape. He called me like a week later and said, man, I think you're really funny. And I'm going to give you all my information. If you ever need me for anything, advice, whatever, here's all my information.
Cool as that.
Wow.
And I was like, wow, that's amazing. But I never called him. But what I did is I started repeating the story until I got the impression down. Now, I've used it for evil. Every year, I go to the Super Bowl, and I will broadcast from the Super Bowl Media Center every year. There are hundreds of sports stations from all over the world that will broadcast from the Super Bowl Media Center. And friends of mine, at the beginning of the week, there's no celebrities coming in yet. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday is pretty slow. So my radio buddies will say, hey, can you join us and pretend to be somebody famous so that it sounds cool back in Des Moines? And I go, yeah. And Tom Arnold is the only sports guy that I can do an impression of because Tom used to host the Best Damn Sports Show.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And he's an Iowa guy, too.
And he's an Iowa sports guy all the way down the line. So every year I will broadcast and I will go full-blown Tom Arnold when they say, we're live from the Super Bowl with Tom Arnold. Tom, what's going on? Not much, guys. It's pretty exciting to be here. We're live at the Super Bowl, and a lot of celebrities are coming into town. I was actually at a Cocaine Anonymous meeting last night with Brett Favre. I probably shouldn't say it out loud, but Brett's a big cokehead, and his sponsor is Bob Costas. Bob's addicted to upskirt porn. Again, I shouldn't say this out loud, but he's always pumping off at work, and I'll just throw out random sports guys and attach them to addictions. And every year, the internet will attack the real Tom Arnold and go, dude, it's supposed to be anonymous. What's wrong with you, man? And every year, Tom Arnold, and I love him for this, will fight everyone. Individual and go, hey, did you notice that Sam Kinison was also on the air? That guy has been dead for 30 years, you idiot. That's not me. It's a comedian. His name's Craig Gass. I wish he would stop. And it's, oh, yeah. It's.
He wishes you would stop, and yet he doesn't call you and tell you that.
Yeah. Well, I ran into him once at there was a big roast in Vegas, the roast of Cheech and Chong. And this said everything to me. I saw Tom backstage, and I went, Tom! And he looked at me, and I went, Craig Gass. And Tom Arnold went, oh, yeah, you're great. You're great. You are great. And I was like, oh, no.
Oh, wow.
Oh, no. Yeah, but dinner with Christopher Walken. He hated me. By the way, I will tell a censored version of this story. If you want to hear the uncensored, just come to the Bossa Nova Ballroom on Saturday. It's and I'll just yell out Christopher Walken, and I'll tell you the story there. But
is it in the set?
Yeah, because there's a comedian that should have known better. Richard Belzer was sitting at the table. Oh, yeah. We're going to do a...
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace. The great Richard Belzer, who invited me to be a part of this roast. It was my first roast I ever did. And there was a formal dinner before the roast. And Richard insisted that I sit at his table to have dinner with him. I'm a total unknown comedian at the time. And I mean, I'm kind of unknown now, but I was really unknown then. And then, so I sit down at dinner, and in the middle of dinner, Richard goes, "Chris, get over here. Okay, sit between me and Craig. Do you know Craig Gass? Here, sit between me and Craig Gass." I look up. It's Christopher Walken.
Oh, gosh.
And he walks over and he sits down. There's a prepared meal at every seat. By the way, I'm starting to realize this is kind of a Gordie Howe story that Suk was telling me. But I don't know that he's an a-hole, but he just looks like he's in a bad mood. Christopher Walken sits down, and his body language is very closed off, and he's just cutting his steak, and he's not even looking up from the table. And I'm just kind of fascinated watching Christopher Walken looking irritated, and then I see Belzer going, "All right, listen, I know you're not in a good mood, but I got something funny for you, okay? I know a lot of people do an impression of you, but you got here." And I went, "Oh, no. Richard, no. And he goes, "No, it's fine. Chris, will you look at me? Look at me. Okay, now look at Craig." And Christopher Walken threw his utensils on the table and went,
"Oh, dear.
Oh, boy.
Go ahead." And I went,
"No.
Well, I don't know if this sounds like you or not. But what I try to do is I try to say as many weird words as possible. And every once in a while, I say the word cowbell. Pow!" And Walken just went, "Wow." And then he went back to his food and went. And then Belzer goes, "Hold on a second. Have you ever heard anybody do Owen Wilson? You ever heard anybody do?" And he's making me go through all these impressions.
Gosh,
at one point, he has me screaming at Walken as different celebrities. And Walken just went, "Listen, I get it. You're talented. Good for you." And I was like, "I'm not. He's the one that's pushing the issue, not me. I'm trying to just sit here and enjoy this moment."
Oh, man.
And yeah, but Belzer forced that issue. Yeah,
good that's uncomfortable.
Richard, good for Richard Belzer, by the way.
Yeah,
anyone that can pull the strings like that, I
Belzer loved that. Every minute of it.
Yeah, it. You know what? I didn't even think about that in hindsight, that maybe he did that just to make 100%. Me feel weird.
Yeah, and to make Christopher feel weird.
I would do that 100 times out of 100. That's the best.
You know what's interesting is I did an HBO show, Sex and the City, and once I got on Sex and the City, HBO started sending me in to audition for parts for all their HBO shows, for Sopranos, Entourage, and every time I went in, their casting director for HBO is George Ann Walken, Christopher Walken's wife.
Oh, gosh. Oh.
And every time I would audition for her, I would come in with whatever I had prepared. And when I was done, she would say, "Do you feel good about that?" And I'd say, "Yeah." And she'd go, "All right, now can we do it one more time as my husband?" And I'd go, "All right, yeah, sure." And I'll do it as her husband. And then
She loved it.
I remember one time doing it, it was Sopranos. And it was like two lines. It was just a doctor who said, the lines were, "Tony, we did everything we could. He's dead." And she goes, "All right, you feel good about that?" And I go, "Yeah." She goes, "All right, can you do it one more time as my husband?" And I go, "All right, yeah. Are you ready? All right. Tony, we did everything we could. He's dead. Pow." And then she went, "All right, I'm going to show it to him."
"All right, thank you."
And she said she would play it for him and that he loved it, according to her. I don't know.
Craig Gass, we're out of time.
Oh, man.
We already have a text on the text line from Pat. He calls you a true gem.
Wow. Thank you, Pat.
A Northwest legend.
I am excited to be here. My first ever stand-up show that I ever did that I got paid for was in Portland. It was not a legal show. It was a bunch of girls putting on a show. I think that's all I can say about that.
That's about it. Yeah.
Yeah. It was at a warehouse somewhere near the Greyhound station, and I got paid
hot.
Yeah. It was.
You got paid in something else.
So,
yeah.
So to come to the Bossa Nova and do a real comedy show in front of a real audience is amazing, man. God, I was just getting started. Like, there's so many.
I know. You got a lot of good ones. We got Gene Simmons. Next time you come on, we'll have to talk about him.
You know what?
Because you guys both pissed off Gene Simmons.
If you have time later in the week at all, not only did I piss off Gene Simmons, I lived at Eddie Van Halen's house for a period of time. I also have, I planned on getting into the stories about how I've embarrassed myself in front of some of the biggest names in the NFL because I got so excited, much like I did with Seth MacFarlane. But thank
Next
you
time.
For having me in.
Yeah, yeah, man.
Thank you.
And we'll see you at Bossa Nova Ballroom.
Saturday night. Two shows. BossaNovaBallroom.com. Thank you, guys.
All right, thanks. Craig Gass. Website?
Is GetGass.com. Get Gass with two S's. Or go to BossaNovaBallroom.com. BossaNovaBallroom.com.
We'll wrap it up next on The Fan. All right, thanks to Craig Gass for coming in. Go see him Saturday night. There's about to be some debauchery in this family because you're going to the auto show again.
Yeah, I'm going down to Barrett Jackson for the next couple days for my buddy's birthday, and I may not come back.
That gets wild.
One day, that will probably kill me.
And then you come back, and I go to Vegas.
Well, and we know that
and
will
that'll kill you.
Yeah.
Like, you should not go to Vegas.
New show hosted by Craig Gass.
Well, we are legitimately concerned about you in Vegas.
You should be. Well, actually, you shouldn't.
You
have an
abusive relationship with Vegas. You keep going back because Vegas tells you that this time it's going to be different, but it won't.
I know.
You're going to one day die down there.
I know. But hey, guess what? I'm back tomorrow.
All right.
You have fun down there.
All right.
You come back, and then I promise to come back. We'll all be
then
back.
We'll reunite next week.
All right, we're back tomorrow, 3 to 7 on The Fan. Good night.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.